Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Rebuilding Students' Learning Power by Zaretta L. Hammond is a professional education book focused on instructional equity, culturally responsive teaching, and the development of students' cognitive capacity. Written for K-12 educators, instructional coaches, and school leaders. It extends themes Hammond is known for in her earlier work on culturally responsive teaching and the brain. And here the central concern is not only whether students feel included or engaged, but whether they are consistently given meaningful opportunities to think deeply and become independent learners. The book argues that equity must be understood as cognitive justice, meaning that historically marginalized students should have full access to rigorous learning. Explicit support in how to learn and instruction that builds agency rather than dependence. Combining insights from classroom practice, equity work, and learning science, Hammond offers a framework for rethinking teaching as the cultivation of learner power. Its purpose is both diagnostic and practical, helping educators identify weak forms of equity and redesign instruction toward deeper intellectual development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, instructional equity as cognitive justice. A defining contribution of the book is its insistence that equity in schools must be judged by the quality of thinking students are asked to do. Hammond pushes beyond familiar conversations about belonging, access, and representation by arguing that instructional equity also concerns who is given real opportunities to analyze, reason, solve problems, and make meaning. This is where the idea of cognitive justice becomes central. In this framework, inequity is not only visible in discipline gaps or unequal resources, but also in classroom routines that lower cognitive demand for some students while reserving intellectual challenge for others. Hammond identifies this pattern as a serious distortion of equity work because it can leave students superficially included while still underprepared as learners. The book therefore asks educators to examine whether their teaching distributes intellectual power fairly. It challenges common habits, such as mistaking participation for understanding, task completion for learning, or teacher-led support for student growth. By naming these patterns, Hammond reframes equity as a matter of developing learner competence and autonomy. The result is a more demanding and more useful vision of fairness in schools, one rooted in how instruction shapes students' long-term academic power. Secondly, from content delivery to cognitive coaching, another major topic is the changing role of the teacher. Hammond argues that effective teaching cannot be reduced to presenting information clearly or managing students through tasks. Instead, the teacher must function as a cognitive coach who helps students build the mental habits and processes needed for independent learning. This shift moves instruction away from a model in which students mainly receive, repeat, and comply toward one in which they actively interpret, reflect, and strategize. The teacher still provides structure, but the purpose of that structure is different. It is designed to apprentice students into increasingly complex forms of thinking rather than keep the teacher at the center of all sense-making. Hammond often connects this idea to learning environments where students are expected to engage in productive struggle, reflect on their own thinking, and take growing responsibility for the work of learning. This approach aligns with her broader emphasis on agency and learner identity. Students are not meant to see themselves as successful only when an adult guides every step. They are meant to recognize themselves as capable thinkers who can approach difficult material with tools and confidence. In that sense, cognitive coaching is both an instructional method and a stance towards students' potential. Thirdly, teaching students how to learn. A central argument in the book is that schools often assume students already know how to learn, when in fact, many of the most important learning behaviors remain hidden and unevenly taught. Hammond emphasizes the importance of making learn-to-learn skills explicit. These include metacognitive awareness, planning, self-monitoring, reflection, and the ability to select strategies when work becomes challenging. Rather than treating these capacities as natural traits that some students possess and others lack, she presents them as teachable dimensions of academic development. This is especially important in equity-focused classrooms because students from historically marginalized groups may be denied regular access to instruction that strengthens these. Habits of mind. When classrooms concentrate mainly on getting through content, students can appear busy without actually becoming more powerful learners. Hammond argues that this is a missed opportunity and, in some cases, a form of underdevelopment. By contrast, explicit attention to how learning works helps students internalize routines that can transfer across subjects and settings. This makes them less dependent on constant prompting and more able to navigate complexity on their own. The book therefore places metacognition near the heart of instructional equity, not as an enrichment activity, but as a core responsibility of teaching. Fourthly, scaffolding that leads to independence. Hammond pays close attention to scaffolding, but she treats it as a temporary support rather than a permanent structure. One of the strongest ideas associated with her work is that instructional support should eventually fall away so students can carry the cognitive work themselves. In practice, she warns, many classrooms drift into over-scaffolding. Teachers simplify tasks too much, break thinking into overly controlled steps, or maintain support so long that students never internalize the underlying processes. The result is dependency rather than development. In this book, that concern becomes part of a larger equity critique. If some students consistently receive reduced challenge and constant prompting, they may complete assignments without gaining the intellectual habits needed for future success. Hammond argues that real scaffolding should do the opposite. It should strengthen students' ability to handle complexity, remember procedures, and apply thinking routines independently. This makes the design of support crucial. Teachers need to judge when to model, when to guide, and when to step back. The point is not to abandon students, but to ensure that assistance builds capacity. By tying scaffolding to eventual independence, Hammond offers a practical standard for evaluating whether support is truly equitable. Effective help is not whatever makes work easiest in the moment, but whatever most strengthens students' long-term learner power. Lastly, culturally responsive teaching as a pathway to rigor. The book also deepens Hammond's long-standing argument that culturally responsive teaching is not simply about affirmation or relevance at the surface level. While classroom belonging and trust matter greatly, they are not the final goal. Hammond links cultural responsiveness to the design of rigorous instruction that connects students' prior knowledge, language practices, and lived experience to new learning. In this view, responsiveness is not separate from academic development. It is one of the means by which teachers help students process complexity, build background knowledge, and strengthen neural pathways for learning. This perspective is especially important because equity conversations sometimes stop at climate, relationships, or representation without fully addressing whether students are being prepared as strong thinkers. Hammond challenges that limitation. She presents culturally responsive teaching as a way to support both dignity and intellectual growth, especially for students whose abilities are too often underestimated. The emphasis on learning partnerships reflects this balance. Students need classrooms where they feel seen and trusted, but also pressed toward high-level thinking through clear support and strong expectations. By joining responsiveness with rigor, the book avoids the false choice between care and challenge. Its position is that the most just classrooms offer both, and that each strengthens the other when instruction is designed thoughtfully. In conclusion, rebuilding students' learning power is best suited for teachers, literacy and math specialists, instructional coaches, principals, and professional learning communities focused on equity and stronger classroom practice. It will be especially useful for educators who already value inclusion and belonging, but want clearer guidance on how equity should change day-to-day instruction. The book offers practical intellectual benefits because it gives readers a sharper vocabulary for diagnosing weak teaching patterns, especially those that create student dependence while appearing supportive. It also helps educators think more precisely about rigor, metacognition, scaffolding, and learner agency. One reason the book stands out in its category is that Hammond does not treat equity as only a matter of relationships, representation, or access. She places cognitive development at the center and asks whether students are actually being prepared to think independently. That makes the book more demanding than many general equity titles, but also more actionable for people responsible for instruction. Its distinctive value lies in linking culturally responsive teaching, learning science, and classroom design into one coherent argument. For educators committed to deep learning rather than surface compliance, it offers both a challenge and a roadmap. It is a strong contribution to current debates about what equitable teaching should really accomplish. If you would like to support Zaretta L. Hammond, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.